Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivarandari Yastodha Nandana Mraja Janaranjana Jamuna Chiravanna Shari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Shatara Shatashri Shrimad His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Om Aknanantaminandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Adati Swabhanantikam Vansha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhirevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Satam Kripa Mahatseva Shraddha Guru Padashraya Bhakti Spriha Bhakti Anartha Pagamastata Nishta Ruchirata Sakti Rati Premata Darshanam Harer Madhurya Yanubhava Ityarta Shushchaturdashe Satam Kripa Mahatseva Shraddha Guru Padashaya Bhajaneshu Spriha Bhaktir Anartha Pagamastata Nishta Ruchirata Sakti Rati Premata Darshanam Harer Madhurya Nubhava Ityartha Shushchaturdashe Mothers and Mothers of the Satap Kripa Mahatseva Shraddha Guru Padashaya Bhajaneshu Spraha Bhaktir Anartha Pagamastata Nishtaruchirtasakti Rati Premata Darshanam Harir Madhurya Nubhava Ityarta Shushchatur Dishe. This translation, the 14 steps are as follows. Maybe you can repeat. I don't normally do this, but since no words were meaning. The 14 steps are as follows. Mercy of devotees. Service to devotees. Faith. Surrender to Guru. Desire for worship. Or hearing. Hearing means worship. Bhakti. Clearance of anarthas. Nishta. Ruchi. Asakti, Rati, Prema, seeing the Lord, and experiencing the Lord's sweetness. So this is a verse composed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, based on the five verses from the second chapter of the first canto, beginning with verse number 16. So everyone can go to that verse. We had, we'll start chapter 3 tomorrow, but we had mentioned in our previous discussions in chapter 2, many times it got brought up, the various stages of development from beginning, from the mercy of devotees and the faith that comes from that association, all the way up to the experience of Krishna. So we had mentioned many times about these 14 stages, but no one was really knowing. So now we will discuss, and then we'll start chapter 3 tomorrow. 14 stages. We discussed previously there are three types of bhaktas. and they receive the goal of life at different rates. For there one type of bhakta, he commits offenses. So for that type of bhakta, 14 stages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. For that bhakta who doesn't commit any offense, then there's two stages, right? Two. Two stages means what? Chanting, getting Vaikuntha, two stages. So Ajamil was an example of that type of person. He didn't commit any aparat, he chanted holy name, then he got Vaikuntha. Then another type of person, third type of devotee, he's also without offense, but he does not get Vaikuntha immediately. Why he does not get Vaikuntha immediately? Krishna wants to give special devotion to him. Huh? That happened to Ajamil too, yes. That's happened to Ajamil too. Understand? Three types of devotees. First type, commits aparat, so many stages. Second type, no aparat, two stages. Third type, no aparat, but he wants a special love for Krishna, but Krishna wants to give him some special love. So then Krishna makes a delay in his attainment of the Supreme Lord. Understand? Three types of devotees. Now we're going to hear about ourselves. Those who are filled with aparads. So many aparads are there. And how the nullification process takes place. So we're going to start with first canto. You can all go to first canto, chapter 2, verse number 16. Then I'll just read the things to you, and we can discuss if there are any questions. I'm giving short class today because you can see I'm struggling. Shushushro shadadanasya Vasudeva kataruchi Shamahat sivaya vipra Punyatirta nishevanat. I'm going to read the translation given here. It's interesting. Oh, Brahmanas, attraction for topics concerning Krishna will arise by service to the great devotees, followed by faith, by surrender to the feet of the pure guru, and by the desire to hear. Five stages mentioned here. So tam kripa, mahatseva, shraddha, guru padashaya, bhajaneshu spriya. Five stages mentioned in this verse. Yeah, I'll read it again. Five stages mentioned in this verse. Verse five there. Understand? So in context, just so you get the context of the verse, these sages had asked Suta Goswami what is highest religion, to which he gave the answer, bhakti. And then he was elaborating on that point with so many nuanced understanding. And then he says, who is that person who will not hear this message? Who is that? What is the answer? Huh? Everyone. Yes, that's the correct answer. Who is it that is not attracted to this message? What is the answer, Michael? No one's attracted to this message, isn't it? No one will hear this message, isn't it? Only times we're sleeping. Terrence is doing a good job today. So no one wants to hear this message. Why do they want to hear this message? Why do they want to hear about Krishna and this message? It relieves them from the bondage of karma. They have no faith. What's your answer? Envy, what's your answer? They have no faith. What's your answer? Hare Krishna. Well, why do you want to hear this message? Yeah, my kung fu thing. Material nature is blocking. I don't know, association. They're too busy chasing after the pleasure of the genitals to care for this message, isn't it? No one cares for this message. They're chasing after the pleasure of sense gratification. Kama Shindriya Prita Krishna, Sutta Goswami mentioned previously. So how do you get that taste for hearing Harikata? How do we get taste for hearing Harikata? So then Sutta Goswami wants to explain how that comes about, how one actually develops taste for bhakti. And then he goes through the stages with this verse. So this is a translation again. O Brahmanas, attraction for topics concerning Krishna will arise by service to the great devotees. Devaya, service to the great devotees, followed by faith, Shraddhanasya, by surrender to the feet of the pure Guru, Punya Tirtha Nishevana, and by the desire to hear, Shushusho. Shushusho means eagerness. Five stages mentioned here, although in the translation only four. Here's a commentary. Hear how the attraction for topics of the Lord arises. Hear. Are you hearing? It arises by service to the great devotees, caused by the good fortune of mercy of those great devotees. 2 points. It arises by service to the great devotees. And how do you get opportunity to serve great devotees? By their mercy. So therefore, the first stage is sita kripa. Satan Kripa means by their mercy of those who are situated in truth. By their mercy, then Mahat Seva comes. You get a chance to render service to them. By that, one develops faith. Shraddhanasya. Shraddha. See? By faith, one takes shelter of the feet of the pure Guru. Punya Tirtha Nishevana. So he's a Guru Padashraya. According to the Amara Kosha Amara Kosha, which is like a Sanskrit dictionary, Tirtha means watered, water worship by same cause. So he's saying how he came to the conclusion worship of the pure Guru. Because Punya Tirtha means the Guru. Yeah, Punya Tirtha Nishevana. Understand? Being eager to hear those topics, Shushushro, he develops taste for those topics. So Bhajaneshu Spriha means eagerness to hear. So after gaining some faith and taking shelter of the pure Guru, and understand one becomes eager to hear. So there's eagerness to hear before hearing takes place, understand? Before hearing takes place, there's eagerness to hear. Then you have taste, you won't sleep in the class. Understand? Understand? What are you understanding? You need some eagerness. How do you get that eagerness? Yes, association, service, then faith, then surrender, then eagerness for bhajan comes up. Question? It seems odd that you will get faith before you. If you don't have taste for something, how could you have faith? No, because the faith comes from the sadhu. You know, this could be a detail. I need my bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Forget it. Anyway, I'll just give it in short. Ruchi is there in faith also. In one sense, you can say ruchi is like the, just like in a seed, you might have like the fruit in a unmanifested state. So in the seed of shraddha, bhakti lata bija, There is Ruchi there, the Ruchi of the devotee who gives you the seed. So in one sense, the development of taste or Shraddha is coming from that devotee, and then that Ruchi is coming out, growing into a Bhakti creeper. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this. The seed of faith contains Ruchi in it. In other words, the type of faith you get from a devotee is going to determine the type of taste that you get in Krishna consciousness. So you see that devotees, their kind of mood, their disposition, their understanding of Krishna consciousness, their taste for Krishna consciousness, generally is influenced by the type of sangha that they get. Because that the faith that the sadhus give is Krishna also. Understand? So if you join Sri Sampradaya, you will not be so much interested in Shamsundar. Because they don't focus on Shamsundar. They focus on Lord Narayana. Those sadhus, then you get that type of faith and subsequently that type of taste. Or you can say you get that type of taste, the faith comes about. Understand? So yeah, it is true that a certain type of taste will influence the type of faith that you have. Like, for example, people have taste for sense gratification. So anyone tells them anything that supports sense gratification, they immediately trust that point because they already have taste for sense gratification. So sadhus give us a little bit of their own taste, a sense of it, and that's why we gain faith in bhakti. And also the type of bhakti that they generally pursue. So then those who join Gaudiya Vaishnavism, they generally have taste for it, and faith in Gaudiya Siddhanta, Shamsundar or Chaitanya, like that. So Shraddha and faith are kind of interchangeable. Therefore, in the Sanskrit verse, it says what? Vasudeva Kata, Ruchi, right? So the Ruchi is contained in the seed of faith. Understand? Any other points? Five stages mentioned. Next verse. Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna. Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Ridanta Stoya Bhadrani. Vidunoti Suritsatam. Krishna, who purifies by the process of hearing and chanting, who is a benefactor of the devotees, who hear about him, enters the hearts of the devotees and destroys their sins. Commentary. Then from hearing with taste, one begins to hear and chant. Then Krishna, being situated within, destroys the sins of Bhadrani in the heart. This is the stage of Anarjanavritti. Krishna being situated within refers to the process of smaranam, remembering. Understand? What is that remembering referring to? Krishna being situated within the heart means someone is remembering Krishna. Understand? I'm going to read the next verse because these two verses are connected. Vishnachavara Thakur only gives two stages in these verses. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyutama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. As the impediments to bhakti become generally destroyed by constant service of the devotees and Bhagavatam, the stage of Nishtita Bhakti to Bhagavan, who is praised by the greatest sages, becomes established. Commentary. Bhagavata Sevaya means by service to the devotees of Bhagavan and service to, such as hearing, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Understand? There are two types of Bhagavata Seva. Bhagavata Seva means service to Bhagavan. Two types of Bhagavata Seva. Granta Bhagavata Seva, that means service to the book Bhagavatam. And Bhagavata Seva, devotee, Bhakta Bhagavata. Two types of Bhagavata Seva. Granta Bhagavata, Bhakta Bhagavata. Understand, Mr. Terrence? Two types of Bhagavata Seva. What are the two types? Yes. Granta Bhagavata, Bhakta Bhagavata. So by service to the Bhagavata, all the aparads are removed. So then he continues here. By serving the devotees and Bhagavatam, the major portion of nam aparads, abhadreshu, becomes weak. This weakening of aparads continues to the stage of rati, bhava. Naishtiki refers to nishta, where the mind can easily concentrate on the Lord. When the anarthas are for the most part destroyed, the devotee attains the stage of nishta. Understand? So in these two verses that we just read, famous verses, everyone knows these verses also, three stages mentioned, bhaktir, anartha, apagamas, tata, and nishta. Three stages are mentioned. So before performing bhajan, there's eagerness for bhajan, right? Bhajaneshu spriha means there's eagerness for bhajan. Then you perform bhajan. So then that performance of bhajan basically consists of what? Bhagavata seva. That's the bhajan, understand? Bhajan means what? Shan. Bhajan means what? Leonardo da Vinci. Bhajan means what? Caught you. Bhajan means what? Yes, bhajan does mean worship. Bhajan in context of what we're saying here. What does bhajan mean? Bhagavata seva. Bhajan means you serve the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas. Granta Bhagavata, Bhakta Bhagavata. So performance of bhajan means what? Michael, what is bhajan? Yeah, serving the Bhagavata. So that's called bhakti. When you render service to the Bhagavatas, it's called bhakti. Understand? When there is service to the Bhagavatas, then it's bhakti. You don't hear the Bhagavatam, you don't serve the Bhagavatas, no bhakti. Understand? What do you mean, non-different conception? Yes, in one sense they're non-different because you hear the book Bhagavatam from he who embodies the book Bhagavatam. Understand? So the Bhakta Bhagavata is the embodiment of the Granta Bhagavata. Therefore, when Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was that who was wanting to study Bhagavatam in Gaur Lila? There was one devotee. Who? No. Swarup Damodar had to chastise them. Who was that devotee? There was one devotee who wanted to write commentary, I think, on Bhagavatam or read Bhagavatam, and Swarup Damodar Goswami chastised him. You have to hear the Bhagavatam from a person Bhagavata, you would not be able to understand anything. You're a rascal. What do you understand if you read the book Bhagavatam? Sometimes devotees think like that nowadays. I'll simply read the books and then I will get everything. You'll get all misconceptions. If you don't read the shastras under the guidance of the person Bhagavata, you'll get all sorts of misunderstandings. There's a reason for that. You want to know the reason why you get all sorts of misunderstandings when you read Shastra without the guidance of a person, Bhagavata? No, I'll give the reason. There's a reason. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta says that the Shastras has two faces. Shastra is two-faced. Understand? Shastra is two-faced. One face is for those who have material eyes. Another face for those who have transcendental eyes. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta explains this in many places, in many essays that he wrote. So he says that the literal meaning of the words is available to those with material eyes. And he says by that reading, you'll get opposite conceptions, you'll get misconceptions. He says, but the transcendental face of the Shastras are available to those with transcendental eyes, the Bhakta Bhagavata. So if you don't hear from them, they actually have the transcendental vision of the Shastra, what the words are actually meaning. Whereas we can only have the dictionary meaning. And by the dictionary meaning, we come to wrong conclusions. He makes this point. But the Bhagavata, Bhakta Bhagavata, he can see the transcendental face of Shastra. And therefore, he's never deceived. Therefore, Shastra directly speaks to him. Whereas for us, Shastra has to speak to us through the mouth of a Bhakta Bhagavata. Understand? So if we don't hear this Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavata, then no bhakti. Understand? It means maybe little bhakti. You have a little face, so we won't say no bhakti. But he says it, a stage of bhakti. Bhakti means what? It means service to the Bhagavatas. Particularly the person Bhagavata by hearing the book Bhagavata. Understand? That's called bhakti, and by that bhakti, anartha apagama, the removal of anarthas takes place. Understand? So by that bhakti, then the removal of anartas takes place. And particularly he refers to the nam aparas, which was the general impediment to the cultivation of bhakti. I was looking at the Madhura Kandambini earlier to see how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur categorizes the nullification of anartas. Can you have me that sheet of paper? I just made a little note. So there are anartas that come from four causes. There are four sources of anartas. I just need my paper. Understand, four sources of anartas means unwanted qualities in the heart. Artha means value, anartha, false values. So false values, unwanted things in the heart, like lust, anger, greed, that's called anartha. Anyone here have anartas? Only a few. That's what I thought. So there are four categories, four sources of these anartas mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and his Madhuri Kandambini. One source is from piety, one source is from sin, one source is from aparad, one source is from bhakti. Understand? Four sources of anartas. Even from bhakti, yes, from bhakti. Yes, you don't understand yet because you don't have no bhakti. When you get bhakti, the anartha that comes from bhakti is people start to want to worship you. They want to give you money. They want to glorify you. That's the anartha that makes you unsteady when you get into those things. Just like Lord Chaitanya describes, when you're cultivating the bhakti lata bija, all these unwanted weeds come up with the cultivation of bhakti, such as labha, puja, pratishtha. These are three main categories. Labha, respect, puja, worship, pratishtha, honor. I want to be honored, isn't it? I want to be honored, isn't it? As a great personality, a great soul, as a guru. Labha, puja, pratishtha. So when you do bhakti, these anarthas come up. We learn a few verses. Now you're ready to preach to the whole world. That'll be the world's savior, isn't it? So this is the anartha that comes from bhakti. So labha, puja, and pratishtha comes up from bhakti, understand? So there are four sources of anarthas.
Provided the facility for those anarthas to come up.
Those anarthas are certainly there. The idea here is that bhakti expands the labha, puja, and pratishtha. Now no one will care about you without your connection to Krishna. Now you come connected to Krishna, you start developing some genuine devotion also, not artificial. Genuine devotion is there. And because genuine devotion means that there's an ingress of Krishna's Swarup Shakti progressively. So bhakti means Krishna's Swarup Shakti, right? That is actually bhakti. Therefore we say love of God. Not like we just develop bhakti. Bhakti is already there. Krishna Swarup Shakti is bhakti. And as you come closer to Krishna, there's a greater ingress or entry of the Swarup Shakti. Understand? So just as Krishna is all attractive, so Krishna Swarup Shakti is all attractive. So anyone who is getting closer to Krishna through their development of bhakti, there's a greater increase of that ingress of the Swarup Shakti, so they also become all attractive. This is called Shubhada, one of the characteristics of pure devotion, Shubhada. And Shubhada means all auspiciousness comes by bhakti. And one of the types of auspiciousness that comes is you become dear to the whole world. That's what's mentioned there, Shubhada. You become attractive for everyone. So then, because of being attractive to everyone, so many people are coming to you. They want to worship you. They want to honor you. They want to give you money, facility. And your mind gets bewildered by that. That happens. It happens a lot, actually. So this is a kind of anartha that comes from bhakti. I understand. Anyway, that's not even my main point. I'm just trying to talk about the anartha apagama.
Quick clarification. Usually we hear, I was under the impression, and this could be wrong, was that the four sources of anarthas are like Sat, Trishna, Hridayadurbalya.
That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's categorization. There's different categorizations.
Okay.
We'll not discuss the relationship now. So four sources of anarthas, coming from sin, I can go into detail. I'm not going into detail with these. I just wanted to make one point. So he says that, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, that for the sins, the removal of the anarthas that come from sins, the anarthas that come from sins is like desire for material sense gratification of a low standard, ignorance, hatred, these sorts of anarthas. Then he says at the stage, first of all, there are five stages of nullification of anarthas. I mentioned this 2 days ago, I think. Five stages of nullification of anarthas. First stage is called limited. A little bit nullification comes up. Limited or partial. Understand? Second stage is pervasive. Means a lot of nullification. Third stage is almost complete. Fourth stage, complete. Fifth stage, absolutely eradicated. Understand? What's the second stage? Pervasive. Understand? So then he mentions that for the removal of the anarthas that come from sin and piety, then at the stage of bhajan and kriya, it's almost complete. Understand? At the stage of bhajan and kriya, that means spiritual practice, it is almost complete. Absolute. At the stage of nishtha, it becomes complete. And at the stage of asakti, it becomes absolute. This is of anarthas from sins and piety. Thank you. I mentioned that 2 days ago, and but I'm glad someone caught that. Because what is the difference between complete and absolute, right? Thank you, Bhakta Michael. Everyone? The difference between complete and absolute is that at complete, there is some chance that the anartha can come back. But at the stage of absolute, there is no chance it will come back. That's the difference. It is explained by Vishwanathacharya Thakur. Thank you. That was a very good question. Very attentive, huh?
Chapter 1 of Canto 6, where it talks about Jnanakanda and then difference between
here. Yes, it's similar. It's similar. Yes, in the sixth canto, chapter 1. So my point is that the anarthas that come from sins and piety are kind of easy to eradicate in one sense. Just by a little spiritual practice, it becomes almost complete. By becoming fixed in Krishna, and when one gets attachment to Krishna, finished, there's no question of karmic reactions fructifying and so on. But when it comes to aparad, it takes a long time to get rid of those anarthas. So this is a nullification of anarthas when there's aparads affecting us. Are you paying attention? This is important. At the stage of bhajan kriya, aparad is partially removed. At the stage of nishtha, aparad is pervasive. A lot of anarthas are removed. At the stage of bhava, it becomes almost complete. Dang, really? At the stage of bhava, bhava means love for Krishna is coming, and it's still only almost complete. At the stage of prema, it becomes complete. Only at the stage of vastu siddhi does it become absolute. So even at the stage of prema, there is some off chance that a non-aparad may catch you up. That could happen. Understand? So that's interesting. So anyway, the reason I brought this point up here is because in the commentary, he says, by serving the devotees in Bhagavatam, the major portion of nam-aparads, abhidreshu, becomes weak. So he mainly focuses on aparads because that's the main one that really impedes the devotee's progress. Understand? Sins and piety, this doesn't make so much effect. Bhakti, I didn't mention, yeah.
When you were about complete and absolute, and you mentioned the example of Rupa Goswami, like when he was in meditation, he chuckled and somebody got offended, the deformed person.
Well, I didn't give him as an example of this categorization. I gave the example of a Ramchandra Chakravarti as an example of what we just mentioned here. I just gave Rupa Goswami as an example of how it may be possible to inadvertently commit an offense. Because okay. her question was that if someone is so advanced, how would they commit offenses? So my answer was that it can happen inadvertently without someone's knowledge. And so I gave Rupa Goswami's that story as an example of how it could inadvertently take place. But not as an example here, because he was obviously a Nitya Siddha.
So, I mean, Is there any example of somebody on the stage of prema actually committing offenses?
That's what I just said. We gave the example of a Ramchandra Chakravarti, remember? And there was a mother Narayani, the daughter of... Maybe you weren't there in class.
No, I remember the example, but yeah. He was on the stage of prema.
Yes. Yes. Huh? No, no, that was Rupa Goswami. This stage, when he was giving Bhagavatam class, Narayani was sitting in the back chanting Hare Krishna because she couldn't her tongue. It was because holy name is it's a living entity. So when we're trying to chant the holy name ourselves, probably real name isn't manifesting yet. But when real name manifests, then the name is dancing in your tongue. You can't control it. It's happening automatically. So her tongue was, holy name was always, he liked that stage. Huh? Tongue is like stage. So for the dancers. And so holy name liked that stage. This is a very nice stage. He liked performing on that stage. I know as a dancer, you like certain, floors. There's like wooden floor is very good for dancing. Marble floor is not very good for dancing. Concrete is horrible for dancing. So our tongue's like concrete. Holy name not coming. so much effort is coming to chant. But Narayani's tongue like wooden floor. Christian likes that dance space. So holy name is dancing constantly on her tongue. So she was constantly chanting. This devotee got offended that she was chanting during his class because it's disrespectful. If you do japa chanting while class is going on, it's disrespectful. I told sometimes devotees do like that. They sit in the back and then the person will say something to them. They say, no, I am hearing the class. And, no, you are not hearing the class. You're not hearing your japa, which isn't new, but... You can either hear japa or you hear the class. You cannot do both at the same time. Like this, we were told the story already. And then he made offense to her because of that. He couldn't tolerate it. So he was an example of someone who achieved prema. I'll have to find that. I can look. I think it's mentioned in the Bhakti Ratnakar
story. I'd heard that example in a class, Ratnak Maharaj once. So he didn't mention about prema. He was just saying that he was giving Bhagavatam class and many people were getting attracted. So it didn't seem like he was on the stage of prema. It just seemed like he was in Ruchi or Asakti.
That was our speculation, perhaps.
Yeah. It was speculation.
But yes.
So I wanted.
So I was mentioning he was stage of prema. Any other questions? Okay. So the only reason I brought out this point is to show that it is mainly the anartha of aparad that is problematic for us, more than the anarthas that come from sin and piety and so on. That was the only reason I brought out this particular point. Next verse. Tadara jastamo bhava kama lobhadayaschaye chetare taira navidham stitam sat. Okay. So the translation, the mind becomes unaffected by hatred and illusion, which arise from rajas and tamas. Then the mind becomes fixed in the form of the Lord at the stage of asakti and becomes satisfied. Stitam satve prasiddhati. Commentary. The mind is not transformed anavidham. Anavidham actually literally means to pierce. So the mind, anavidham means it's not pierced. This becomes important. The mind is not transformed anavidham by the agitations of lust, greed, and other qualities such as anger, illusion, and hatred, which are rajas and tamas. Did you understand? The mind is not pierced by lust, anger, greed, hatred. And where does all those qualities in the mind come from? Yes, rajaguna, tamaguna. Rajaguna means the mode of passion. Tamaguna means the mode of ignorance. So there are three gunas. Tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. Understand? Don't worry, you'll catch up. The three modes of nature are there. So by associating with the mode of passion, then what happens? You become lusty, isn't it? We become lusty when we associate with the mode of passion, we become lusty and angry. And then from there, mode of ignorance comes, you become hateful. You want to destroy something, mode of ignorance, isn't it? You want to punch a hole in the wall. So someone's cake was there downstairs for everyone, and there was only a few slices left. And one devotee already had one slice. He saw you coming. You didn't have the slice, and my Rajagon, you lusty for a piece of cake also. And he took the last piece, even though he already had one. So from Rajagon, you become hateful, Tamagun. And then you punch a hole in the wall. How could devotees be so sad? I think I'm leaving the ashram. Don't think it doesn't happen like that. It does happen like that. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj tells a story of a young boy who had joined the ashram when he was new. And his mom kept sending him every week cheesecakes. This is cruel. And then finally, one week, he couldn't take it anymore. He just left the ashram. How could I give up cheesecakes for Krishna? So he left. He left. He chose cheesecakes over Krishna. Yes. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why would someone choose cheesecakes over Krishna? What type of answer is that? We should have a stick for chastising. For why he would choose cheesecake over Krishna? Huh? Rajaguna. The Rajaguna make him lusty. So by lusty, his mind pierced by lust. So he chose cheesecake over Krishna. It's due to the Rajaguna, motive passion. Understand? So the mind is not transformed by the agitations of lust, greed, and other qualities such as anger, illusion, and hatred, which arise from Rajagun and Tamagun. Understand? This means that by lack of taste for material objects, the state of ruchi, the appearance of relishing of hearing, chanting, and other processes arise. So if there is no Rajagun, there is no Tamagun, then you can relish hearing about Krishna. Understand? Why don't we don't relish hearing about Krishna? Because of the influence of Rajagun, Tamagun. Isn't it? Tamagun means this. It's called Tamagun. Rajagun means while class is going on, you're thinking so many things. But not the Bible song class. So many other things. So this is why we don't relish the class. Why we don't relish? Michael, why we don't relish? Rajagun and Tamagun. That's why we don't relish. So when those things are removed by the process of bhakti, then you relish hearing and chanting and other processes. This is called ruchi. State of ruchi. Understand? So ruchi comes. I don't know what number we're on now, but ruchi. Then, after that, in the previous state, the mind was pierced by the sharp arrows of lust, greed, etc. Anavidam. So the mind was pierced by all these things coming from Rajagun Tamagun. How could the mind be satisfied in that state? How could the mind attain real taste for chanting in that state? A person afflicted with pain cannot relish food. Isn't it? If someone is afflicted with pain, either a physical pain or a mental pain, you cannot relish food. Like suppose you're in the kitchen and someone offers you a gulab jamun. You'll be happy? if you have some physical pain, people say, here's a gulab jamun. You probably pain out of anger. How could you get upset? That may take away the pain. Maybe that was the devotee's purpose. You know, he just wanted to make you mad so you would forget. Huh? So if you're in some mental pain, some anxiety, someone offers you some nice palatable dishes, you cannot be happy, isn't it? So the point is that if our mind is pierced by lust, anger, hatred, illusion, all these bad qualities, which come from the Rajagun, Tamagun, then you cannot relish Krishna consciousness. So anavidam, when the mind isn't pierced by those things, then you relish Krishna consciousness, ruchi. Understand? Everyone's getting. After this, the mind becomes fixed, sthitam, in the Shuddha Sattva Deity of the Lord, Sattva stage of Asakti. Atas Sakti is mentioned there, Atas Sakti. So after the piercing, you begin relishing the practices of Krishna consciousness. And then shortly thereafter, you become attached to the deity of all those processes. Of course, our deity is Lord Chaitanya. We become attached to Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna. So that is the stage of Asakti. Understand? So two points mentioned in this verse. In verse 16, 5 points mentioned. In verse 17, 18, 3 points mentioned. In this verse, 2 points mentioned. So 5, 8, 9, 10. Okay? Next verse. Evam prasana manaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yogata Bhagavat Tattva Vignanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. She becomes joyful and satisfied on attaining Rati. Rati means bhava. Rati. Finally, prema develops, accompanied by the appearance of complete detachment. The devotee then experiences the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, powers, and sweetness. So here's a commentary. By this method, with the development of asakti, with worship of Krishna, Rati then appears, prasanna manasa. Prasanna manasa means the mind becomes fully joyful. So this is bhava, Rati. Without Rati, there can never be constant detachment from objects of material enjoyment. That's one of the 9 characteristics of bhava. Characteristics, one of them is virakti, complete detachment. And without constant detachment, there can never be satisfaction of the mind. So that's how he comes, that's how he finds Rati in the words prasanna manaso. Because only if there's complete detachment, which happens at the stage of bhava, can the mind be settled and blissful. Prasanna manaso. Understand? After that, then prema the Bhagavan appears. Bhagavat bhakti yogataha. Bhagavat bhakti yogataha is a prema. Prema. Understand? From that arises realization, vijnanam, of the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, powers, and sweetness. That means darshanam. Darshanam means to see the Lord face to face. Experience the Lord with one's senses. Meaning darshanam literally means to see. Understand? So after prema, then Krishna comes before your vision. Understand? Right, like right in front of your eyes. Just like I'm seeing you, you can see Krishna when you have prema. So after prema, then you get darshan of Krishna. Understand? The desired result of bhakti has thus accompanied results were previously mentioned with janayati aishu vairagyam jnanam chayarahe tukam. Here also they are mentioned with the phrase appearance of vairagya. Mukta Sangasya. So in the Sanskrit it says Mukta Sangasya, you become free from all sorts of material influence. So that result, that's the less significant result. Just like when you, this example given by Rupa Goswami, or given by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita, when you're cooking some food, you need a fire to do so, right? That fire burns up the, how do you say, that you use to start the fire. It burns it up. But that's not the main purpose of the fire. The main purpose of the fire is to food, right? So similarly, the main purpose of bhakti is prema. That's the main purpose of bhakti. A simultaneous thing that takes place is you become free from all sorts of unwanted material association. Understand? Can you get that analogy? When you're cooking, the fire burns up the log wood, but that is an insignificant thing. That is not the important thing. The main thing is that the food is cooked. So similarly, the main thing from the process is you get prema for Krishna. An accompanying result is all sorts of mukta sangasa jayate. You get free from unwanted association. Understand? Last verse. So we mentioned rati, prema, darshanam. All these things were mentioned in that verse. Then ignorance is vidyate hridaye grantish chidyante sarvasamshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare. Ignorance is cut void on seeing the Lord in the mind and with the eyes. All karmas are destroyed. So commentary, the knot in the heart, ignorance, is cut. Heavy knot in the heart is there, isn't it? It's called ignorance. So this indicates that destruction of, this is a reflexive verb form, karma kartari, which indicates that destruction of ignorance results salt in bhakti. I just explained this with the example of the cooking. I just explained this. All doubts, such as thinking that the attainment is impossible, are destroyed. Having seen the Lord, who is the soul of all, having seen the Lord, who is the soul, all destroyed. Drishta eva atmani ishvare. Having seen the Ishvara, the Lord, who is the Atma, then all karmas are destroyed. This is an accompanying result. Hold on. Or the Lord being in the mind, Atmani, and then being seen directly, all karmas are destroyed. That's another meaning. First, you see the Lord within your mind. That's called the Spurti. He comes before your eyes. Then after that, all karmas are destroyed. He's just giving different ways of understanding this. Thus, both the Spurti of the Lord in the mind and direct appearance to the eyes are indicated. So, and then he quotes this verse. So then the last point here, Hare Madhurya Anubhava. So the last point there is that you see the Lord both within as a Spurti and without, right in front of your eyes. So I think that comes with 14, right? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, yes. Anubhava means to experience the Lord's sweetness. So after taking darshan of Krishna, then you experience his sweetness. And you start having pastimes with Krishna. 14 stages. Verse 20 mentions you take darshan. And yeah, it says then after that you get vijnana, darshan. Vijnana is your darshan. You get darshan, you see Krishna. Then after seeing Krishna, you experience his sweetness. Yeah, it's mentioned here.
The question I had was in verse 21, all the karmas are being destroyed and the doubts are being destroyed. Why is it mentioned after the 14 stages and not sometime before, like especially the doubts? But
I don't know. It's just a wrap up. It's like a wrap up point. You know, when you're wrapping up points, you kind of give like a summary, a little summary of everything. When it speaks Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18 wraps it up, and he covers all the topics in a succinct form. He's wrapping up this particular discussion of how bhakti develops.
And there still be doubts still verified and...
Well, he's saying here, the doubt, the particular doubt that he's mentioning is the doubt that I can attain Krishna, because our goals in Krishna consciousness are rather lofty. And so, well, it comes up all the time. Will I actually be able to do it? Will I actually get that mercy? So he's saying that after you see Krishna, that